could almost be glad of my past wickedness if I could believe that it would help to keep others straight.
So it will, Snobby. How much, Jenny?
4 and 10 pence, Major.
Oh, Snobby, if you had given your poor mother just one more kick, we should have got the whole 5 shillings.
If she heard you say that, miss, she'd be sorry I didn't. But I'm glad. Oh, what a joy it will be to her when she hears I'm saved.
Shall I contribute the odd tuppence, Barbara? The millionaire's mite, eh?
Undershaft takes a couple of pennies from his pocket.
How did you make that tuppence?
As usual, by selling cannons, torpedoes, submarines, and my new patent Grand Duke hand grenade.
Put it back in your pocket. You can't buy your salvation here for tuppence. You must work it out.
Is tuppence not enough? I can afford a little more if you press me.
2 million millions would not be enough. There is bad blood on your hands, and nothing but good blood can cleanse them. Money is no use. Take it away. Dolly, you must write another letter for me to the papers.
Cousins makes a wry face.
Yes, I know you don't like it, but it must be done. The starvation this winter is beating us. Everybody is unemployed. The general says we must close this shelter if we can't get more money. I force the collections at the meetings until I'm ashamed, don't I, Snobby?
It's a fair treat to see you work it, miss. The way you got them up from 3 and 6 to 4 and 10 with that hymn, penny by penny and verse by verse, was a caution. Not a cheap jack on Mile End Waste could touch you at it.
Yes, but I wish we could do without it. I am getting at last to think more of the collection than of the people's souls. And what are those hatfuls of pence and halfpence? We want thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I want to convert people, not to be always begging for the army in a way I'd die sooner than beg for myself.
Genuine unselfishness is capable of anything, my dear.
Barbara unsuspectingly turns away to take the money from the drum and puts it in a cash bag she carries.
Yes, isn't it?
Undershaft looks sardonically at Cousins, who responds in an aside to Undershaft.
Mephistopheles! Machiavelli!
Tears are coming into Barbara's eyes as she ties the bag and pockets it.
How are we to feed them? I can't talk religion to a man with bodily hunger in his eyes. It's frightful.
Jenny runs to her.
Major, dear.
No, don't comfort me. It will be all right. We shall get the money.
How?
By praying for it, of course. Mrs. Baines says she prayed for it last night, and she has never prayed for it in vain. Never once.
Jenny goes to the gate and looks out into the street. Barbara has dried her eyes and regained her composure.
By the way, Dad, Mrs. Baines has come to march with us to our big meeting this afternoon, and she is very anxious to meet you for some reason or other. Perhaps she'll convert you.
I shall be delighted, my dear.
Major! Major, here's that man back again.
What man?
The man that hit me. Oh, I hope he's coming back to join us.
Bill Walker, with frost on his jacket, comes through the gate, his hands deep in his pockets and his chin sunk between his shoulders, like a cleaned-out gambler. He halts between Barbara and the drum.
Hello, Bill. Back already?
Been talking ever since, have you?
Pretty nearly. Well, has Todger paid you out for poor Jenny's jaw?
No, he ain't.
I thought your jacket looked a bit snowy.
So it is snowy. You want to know where the snow come from, don't you?
Yes.
Well, it come from off the ground in Parkins's corner in Kettentown. He got rubbed off by me shoulders, see?
Pity you didn't rub some off with your knees, Bill. That would have done you a lot of good.
I was saving another man's knees at the time. He was kneeling on me head. Yeah, so he was.
Who was kneeling on your head?
Todger was. He was praying for me. Praying comfortable with me as a carpet. So was Marg. So was the old bloomin' meetin'. Marg, she says, "Oh Lord, break his stubborn spirit, but don't hurt his dear heart." That was what she said. Don't hurt his dear heart. And her bloke, 13 stone 4, kneeling with all his weight on me. Funny, ain't it?
Oh, no. We're so sorry, Mr. Walker.
Nonsense. Of course it's funny. Served you right, Bill. You must have done something to him first.
I did what I said I'd do. I spit in his eye. He looks up at the sky and says, "Oh, that I should be found worthy to be spit upon by for the gospel's sake." And Mark says, "Glory, hallelujah." And then I called me brother. Down me as if I was a kid and he was me mother washing me a Saturday night. I hadn't just no show with him at all. Off the street prayed. And the other half laughed and fit to split themselves. There. Are you satisfied now?
Wish I'd been there, Bill.
Yes. You'd have got an extra bit of talk on me, wouldn't you?
I'm so sorry, Mr. Walker.
Don't you go being sorry for me. You've no call. Listen here. I broke your jaw.
No, it didn't hurt me. Indeed, it didn't. Except for a moment. It was only that I was frightened.
I don't want to be forgiven by you or anybody. What I did, I'll pay for. I tried to get my own jaw broke to satisfy you.
Oh, no.
Tell you I did. Can't you listen to what's been told you? All I got be with was being made a sight of in the public street for me pains. Well, if I can't satisfy you one way, I can another. Listen here. I've had £2 saved again the Frost, and I've a pound of it left. A mate of mine last week had words with the Judy he's going to marry. He gave her what for, and he's been fined 15 bob. He had a right at her, because they was going to be married, and I had no right to hit you. So put another 5 bob on and call it a pound's worth.
He produces a sovereign.
Here's the money. Take it, and let's have no more of your forgiving and praying and your major jawing me. Let what I've done be done and paid for, and let there be an end of it.
Oh, I couldn't take it, Mr. Walker. But if you would give a shilling or two to poor Rummy Mitchens, you really did hurt her, and she's old.
Not likely. I'd give her another as soon as look at her. Let her have the law on me as she threatened. She ain't forgiven me, not much. What I've done to her is not on me mind. What she, the Major, might call on me conscience. No more than sticking a pig. It's this Christian game of yours that I won't have played on me again me. This blooming forgiving and noggin and jawing that makes a man that saw that his law's a burden in life. A burden to him. I won't have it, I tell you. So take your money and stop throwing your silly bash face up against me.
Major, may I take a little of it for the army?
No, the army is not to be bought. We want your soul, Bill, and we'll take nothing less.
I know it ain't enough. Me and a few shillings is not good enough for you. You're an earl's granddaughter, oh yeah. Nothing less than £100 for you. Oh,
come, Barbara. You could do a great deal of good with £100. If you will set this gentleman's mind at ease by taking his pound, I will give you the other 99.
Bill, astounded by such opulence, instinctively touches his cap.
Oh, you're too extravagant, Papa. Bill offers 20 pieces of silver. All you need offer is the other 10. That will make the standard price to buy anybody who's for sale. I'm not, and the army's not. You'll never have another quiet moment, Bill, until you come round to us. You can't stand out against your salvation.
I can't stand out against music hall wrestlers and awful-tongued women. I've offered to pay. I can do no more. Take it or leave it. There it is.
Bill throws the sovereign on the drum and sits down on the horse trough. The coin fascinates Snobby Price, who takes an early opportunity of dropping his cap on it. Mrs. Baines comes from the shelter. She is dressed as a Salvation Army commissioner. She is an earnest-looking woman of about 40 with a caressing, urgent voice and an appealing manner.